My name's Stephen Neal, pastor at Alden Bethel Church and blogger at Building Jerusalem.
And my name's Stephen Watkinson, church planter in Rochdale and blogger at Northern Souls.
Saw on Twitter recently, Stephen, you were in a discussion with someone where there was a suggestion made that Anglican ministers are receiving somewhere in the region of about 100k a year as their salary, and that was deemed quite a lot. And I think, if that's true, we have not really done you any favors in terms of what we're paying you now to do what you're doing. But you seem to suggest that actually the figures are a little bit overblown and maybe they're not earning that much.
Yeah. So it is really hard, I think, to give an accurate figure. So I understand the person who was suggesting that was putting a bunch of stuff in, and I understand, and I know in part I understand what he's thinking is about, suppose an Anglican minister wants to leave the Church of England, how are you going to create a compensation? They want to plant a new church, and how much is it going to cost you to kind of keep them, you know, reasonably? And it is really difficult to work out. So, I mean, the Church of England's stipend is kind of roughly 25 grand a year. It varies a bit across dioceses, and it has gone up a bit, but I think I might have been on slightly more when I finished. But and you kind of go, well, wow. So from that to 100 seems a massive leap. But it begins to, you know, you have to kind of work out the questions. So what is it worth being given a reasonably sizable house to live in with your job? And what is it worth? And that's just really hard to calculate, isn't it?
I guess it depends where you are. I mean, if you're in
Kensington,
that's that's going to be worth quite a lot. If you're in Glodwick, you think, probably less. Not
so
much.
Yeah, no, exactly. And also it's a kind of, it's even then it's intangible, because okay, you get to live in that house, but it's not your house. And it actually broadly, because you're given that rather than paid to have it, if you see what I mean, it's never going to be your house, whatever situation. And with that, I mean, there are some kind of random things as well. So oftentimes you don't want the house to be as big and drafty as it is, because you've got to heat the thing. but then you get some tax breaks because you work from your home, and you get this and that. It is difficult to work out. And I don't sort of have any, in one sense, and that's what I was kind of throwing out there, that I've always thought it's really difficult to work out this question of how you pay a minister of a church and what you pay them, because it'd be really easy to set up a system, wouldn't it, where, so what the Church of England has tried to do is say, well, basically we pay you all the same, but because we couldn't really do that in a way that means that wouldn't be livable, so paying us 25,000 a year just wouldn't be livable in lots of places if you then had to sort out accommodation. So we provide the accommodation, which seems kind of sensible. And it cuts back a bit on the competitor. You would think, at least, you know, if you actually pay a living cost sort of thing and say that someone can buy a house, well, everyone's going to want to go and work in the southeast and Oxford and all those kind of things, because they're going to get a salary of, or a stipend of a high amount. Whereas no one's going to come and work in a northern mill town where they're going to get a low amount. Of course, it doesn't actually fix that, because people still want to go live in.
But the context of this discussion, anyway, without getting into the ins and outs of why the Anglicans pay who they do, neither of us are Anglican anymore. Maybe you are. I don't know. I don't know how you categorize yourself.
I suppose I'm still ordained. But anyway, yes.
You're not in the C of E anymore.
No.
whatever it is you are. I'd categorise you as an independent now. Which
yeah,
is,
well, no, I am. I'm a minister of an independent church, right. Aren't I?
So you're not Anglican, and I never have been. So what the Anglicans pay their ministers is kind of moot. But
the question was, what should you pay a minister? That was the context it was
exactly.
In.
And the discussion actually came from, is paying a six-figure salary to your minister an acceptable thing to do or not? That was kind of where the yeah. conversation came from, and then off the back of that, it was yeah. Well, how do you decide if a six-figure salary isn't appropriate? What is appropriate, and how do you work that out? What do you do?
Yeah, and so the interesting thing about that chucking in that, well, actually Anglicans are on $100,000. So it, basically, what that was sort of saying is, well, you can envisage a situation. I mean, even bottom end in the UK, you can envisage a situation where you're getting close to that. So you can, can't you? You can envisage, so you want to plant a church or have a church in a pretty wealthy area, which is, you know, perfectly legitimate. How do you pay a pastor to live in that area?
So I think you've got several ways of doing it, haven't you? Or several ways that are often suggested. So I've heard people suggest you do it by an average salary of your congregation. Yeah. I think that has real problems associated with it, not least if you've got
we need to take a cut.
Oh, yeah, if you've got a tiny congregation or a big congregation, yeah. that sort of weights it. If you've got issues to do with what your church can or can't afford, you can set a salary to whatever degree you like, but if your church can't afford it, then that's not going to work. You could try and set it by that sort of means, but then again, you get the same problem of, well, if you're in Kensington with an average salary that's remarkably high, you get a very high salary, and if you're in Speak in Liverpool or something, you're not going to be getting a great deal. So all of those things, I think that makes that quite a difficult model. Approach. I think the other common way of doing it is to benchmark it against other, for want of a better term, a similar industry. So generally speaking, people would look at something like teaching and say, look, being a pastor, it's not like being a teacher, because I've been a teacher, it's nothing like it. But it's a little bit like being a teacher, kind of, and it's a handy sort of measure to benchmark things against. So what teachers get will give. Now, on one level, I think that's good, because you're basically saying, look, not where are you going, but what's this job worth, and what's it like, and what skills would you need that are similar to anywhere else. So in teaching, you need a degree minimally with a teaching qualification. And in the ministry, you don't have to have a degree particularly, but you need some experience, I think, in something. And often these days, people want you to have some theological training of some sort. So it's not, and you've got to be able to teach. So it's not dissimilar. The problem with doing that, though, of course, is you could say, okay, this job's worth 25K or whatever you benchmark it at. But of course, there are churches that can't afford that. And there are churches where if you were in that church and you were on that, you would be probably one of the poorer people in your very, very wealthy church. So again, sometimes people would look at that and go, that doesn't seem reasonable or fair. And I don't really know the difference to that.
So the thing is that I think it's really hard. I genuinely think it's a really hard problem. And I think we've probably all can see or imagine, we've probably all known people that we think have really been underpaid and sort of had to deal with that. And I just felt very positive. In so many ways, I think that's not a positive thing. Just because of, I think it can really damage families and stuff like that. And I think, obviously the context where you look at it and go, they do seem a little overpaid, but it is quite hard, I think, to some of the things that I think are a little bit concerning about some of the conversations. So I think a number of them I kind of feel like one of the places I would want to start is, have we got a real concern for this man and his family, if he's got one, and so on? You know, are we starting there?
Actually, I slightly disagree. I think there's a place to start before that, which is, I'm sure you're coming on to it, but you want to say, look, what does the Bible actually say about this first? Obviously, I go to the Bible first, you go to the pragmatic first, but you are a former Anglican, so you can't help that. I appreciate it.
Yes, well, you're right, actually, because I suppose what I was doing is that, was it Lloyd Jones who talked about how you assume the gospel and then the next generation loses the gospel and that kind of thing? So I was assuming that. You're right.
You shouldn't assume, you know. But you start. You just look at what the Bible says. Now, interestingly, you say, okay, so what does that say about how much you pay your pastor? Let's put a figure on it. It's just not there, is it? And so I think you struggle with that. If you then dig a bit deeper into some of the principles, so we all know the worker's worthy of his wages. And so, okay, you have to ask on some level, what is this job worth? Irrespective of what we can afford or can't afford, what is this job worth? And what should we be aiming to pay our pastor if we can? Then I think you've got to look at what the church can afford, you know, because ultimately he's supported primarily by the giving of the church and the giving from believers. Now, again, I think if your church itself can't afford something, I think it's incumbent on you to try and find partner churches who would be able to help you to support a pastor meaningfully and work hard on doing that. And generally speaking, I think when you look in what the Bible says, the only sort of safe ground that I think you've got is to say the church ought to be as generous as it possibly can towards the minister, and the minister ought to be as sacrificial as he possibly can towards the church. I think far too often churches sort of go in with the question, what's the least you need to live on? Which I just think is a terrible question. And equally, I think there are pastors who go in and basically say, unless I can earn the same as what I would in, you know, the industry that I'm leaving or whatever, I don't think I can afford to do it. And again, you think that's probably not great either. But I think if the church is trying to be really generous and the pastor is being sacrificial, you should at some be able to reach some sort of agreement as to what's reasonable in your context.
Yeah, so broadly, that's where I was going, having assumed the Bible.
You did it backwards.
Well, you know, it's not unusual for me. When you see some of the discussions, I think one of the things that concerns me a bit is, so some of that stuff kicks in, that when someone sees... someone sees a big salary, the almost default position. I mean, if people say it to you, I don't know if you have this, but something like, oh, well, you didn't go into that for the money, did you? Which, of course, is true. I didn't go into it for the money. But the sort of subtext to that is, so basically, you must have expected you weren't going to get paid properly, so we're not going to pay you properly. That's probably overreading it, but there's that sort of almost, say, there's that, and then yeah, absolutely, you see the other side of the, whether it's the grasping minister or the just unwilling to go, well, I couldn't possibly take that job role because, instead of going, well, okay, I need to sit down and work out. You know, I mean, you know, there will be cases where you couldn't take a role because, you know, and I can think of contexts where I have some idea about what someone's been paid and think, well, I don't think we, even with what we've got, I don't think we could have done that. But in a lot of cases, it might be because I want to maintain a level of lifestyle that actually I don't need to maintain. And that But the discussion, the thing that troubled me a bit about some of the discussion was it was this kind of, I probably went from the other side. It saw these huge salaries, some of which I suspect is quite hard to justify. But some of which I just thought, I think, you know, you're talking about a context that I don't know. And so I'd be a little bit wary about, especially as a six-figure salary is a broad range. So that's kind of, you know, from 100,000 to just under a million is quite a big range of salary. And I could see how you could justify 100,000 in some circumstances. So I can imagine contexts where the costs that would come with your, you know, if you've got to buy, I don't know what health insurance costs in some countries and stuff like that. And if that's got to come out of your salary, if that's part of your package, then it might not be that surprising that it's crept up to that kind of level. Whereas we with an NHS would never kind of have to think of the health insurance package. I don't know that. And so I'm concerned when I don't want to jump in on someone without knowing a little bit more about it.
Yeah. I mean, I would, so my instinct, and I've got to be honest and say it's not a lot more than that. So you can take or leave my instinct, can't you? But my instinct is six figures probably isn't appropriate for a minister. That's my sort of my reflex towards that. But then if you were asking me to justify that specifically biblically,
I can't.
And given I can't, it's very difficult for me to say that's wrong. And at what point?
I think what I'm saying is probably my reflex would be similar. But I could totally see me being persuaded from certain circumstances about certain things. And I could totally see me being really not persuaded in other contexts.
What point do you cross the line, though, from that the Bible doesn't put a figure on that to, but that is obviously greedy? Because the Bible does talk about that, you know, and I don't think there's a figure. You can't say, oh, well, that's at £200,000. That's where that lies. But what there clearly is a line, isn't there, where you go, look, above that, you're living at a standard well beyond your people. You're clearly pulling in more money than you need, and you are depriving, I suppose, the church of other things. You know, if you took a quarter of that salary, you'd be comfortable, and you could be funding all sorts of other things in the ministry of the church that you're just not. Now, I don't know where those lie, and I think they may be contextually driven in part. But there's got to be a line somewhere, hasn't there, where you've gone, basically, that having that amount is quite greedy.
So I think I think that's true. I think if we say that, we need to have more courage, though, because we've got to push beyond the pastor's salary and go, the reality is then, so loads of people have six-figure salaries. And loads of people, probably not in our churches, but you know, it just, that is, I mean, you know, we live in that kind of society now. That means, I think, that I mean, one of the things that grieves me is a little occasionally is to hear some of the criticism. I mean, not in this conversation, not in the recent one, but I've kind of heard people who are, you know, really kind of push down on clergy salaries, and in this case, because it was Church of England, who I kind of know were coming from really, really well-paid contexts, to which I want to go, that's fine. I presume if you're saying that I can live on this and that's a sensible amount of money, that's true for you as well. And if that's true for you as well, then really there needs to be, you know, there are consequences to that in your giving. And I think one of the things is, see, one of the whole sort of things that float around this, so, I mean, I totally agree that, I mean, I cannot imagine a context where someone came to me and said, Stephen, we think it's reasonable that we pay you £500,000. I mean, just you kind of look at that and go, okay.
I can affirm you're not worth it.
Yeah. I can affirm you're not paying it. but you know, so had I, even if I'd stayed in academia, I don't think I'd have got to $500,000. That would have taken something special. But it's not that unusual to be on the six figures.
No.
And even, you know, even within a kind of teaching context, if you progress up, you're going to get close into that. There is an element of me that then says, this is all fine, so long as if what you're really saying is that you think a pastor is worth a kind of bottom to middle level teacher, because that's what they need for what they do, then for most of you, that's also true. And that should make some huge differences to your lifestyle and all kinds of things. Now, I get, again, some of the problems we said at the start about the pastor, it gets problematic, doesn't it? So if you're in particular areas and stuff, how you actually make that work. But still, so some of the things that trouble me, I mean, you're right, and says, I think it's really hard to set a level. And I think basically the level that you come to should be, it's very dependent on the godliness of the church and the godliness of the pastor.
I would go further, because I think there's another problem as well, where a lot of what is driven as what you can cope with does rely upon as well the fact that your minister may be able to claim tax credits and things like that.
Yeah.
So we will offer a very low salary, but don't worry, because the state will basically pick that up and top up your salary, so we can get a pastor on the cheap whilst the state basically fund the rest of it. And again, I find that distasteful. I mean, I'm, you know, it's no great secret, I'm a mad socialist, you know what I mean? I'm all for state sponsoring everything, but even I sort of balk at that. You know what I mean? I think, I'm not sure the state should be sponsoring the church, and I particularly don't think the state should be sponsoring the church. The church could be stingier than it needs to be, because we're going to top it up with state funds. And equally, I think it comes back to the sanctimony we were talking about last week. I think there are people in certain contexts who claim a lot of benefits, claim a lot of tax credits, and will make pronouncements on people, you know, like ministers' wives shouldn't work or whatever, or, you know, there are certain setups that you ought to have in your church. But a lot of those setups are only made possible because they're able to claim tax credits from the government in order to make it happen.
Yeah, or the flip side being that actually they are people who come from a lot of money.
Yeah.
Either because of prior career or family or whatever it is. Some of that, I get it that we live in a culture where most families have two incomes one way or another. I get it, as a church, you might want to say, you might have convictions about that. I mean, I don't really have those convictions. Although I can see the advantage of a minister whose wife doesn't work. I mean, basically churches are doing some kind of two for one thing there, but
don't get me wrong. I have no problem whatsoever with people who say my wife as a minister isn't going to work. I think that if that's a family decision you've taken, I think that's fine. If that's a decision you think you've taken,
if that's a church decision,
yeah, if it's forced on you, I'm not so sure that's great.
I think you have to accept that you have to pay your pastor more.
Yeah, agreed. And I think equally, I think the question is more complex than just money as well. I think sometimes maybe the wife just doesn't feel called to doing whatever it is the church has decided.
Yeah.
But then maybe that's not the right person for you. But if it's a family decision, whether it's, you know, she wants to stay home to deal with the children, or they want to homeschool, or they want to, whatever, she wants to be involved in the ministry in a more involved way, or whatever the reason is, if people make that choice and want to do that, that's absolutely fine. I don't want to pass comment at all on the rightness or wrongness of that. I think that's a personal choice for people, whether their wife works or not in ministry. Where I think we've got a problem, though, is when that becomes sort of this, again, slightly holier than thou, suggestion that ministers are perhaps, allowing their wives to work, or their wives are going out to work mainly because they're not being sacrificial enough. They don't really want to give up a certain lifestyle. And yet, at the same time, those same people are very often claiming tax credits, claiming child benefit, claiming all sorts of things from the state. And they're able to do those things because the state is basically picking up the tab for that choice. And again, you know, if you want to make that choice, that's fine. And I don't actually think it's wrong to use what the government are offering for doing that either. Where I have a problem is when it becomes a sort of sanctimonious choice that I've made that everybody else probably ought to make in reality, and they make it into a sort of gospel imperative of some sort, when actually I just don't see that in scripture, and I find it distasteful to do so when you're basically relying on the state to allow you to do that.
Well, and it's especially because, again, you know, circumstances might mean that that works for you, but other circumstances might mean that it doesn't. And to kind of, I think one of the things that concerns me about some of this scripture, like I say, I think setting actual levels, you know, some things do, some amounts do seem a bit distasteful and so on and all that. Broadly, I don't see loads of that in the UK. But what I do see is, is often ministers and ministry families living in pretty difficult situations. And I kind of feel like you can do quite a lot of damage to people by, and to families and to kids and stuff, by sort of forcing them into, I guess, what a whole bunch of other people have predetermined are the sacrifices that they ought to make, without really looking into the heart of the situation. And I kind of think that some of the issues that you have with people leaving and burnout and some of those sort of things, they do actually come down to some of these questions about, you know, you just weren't very generous to your pastor. And it, you know,
and that cuts well beyond salary.
Your money, yeah. I mean, yeah, it can be time, it can be all kinds of things, you know, your expectations, all that kind of stuff, where, you know, you just kind of constantly wanted something for nothing, really. And you've driven this poor man and his family into the ground. And, you know, it's not that unusual to come across pastors' kids who have some really pretty negative experiences that really come down to not huge amounts of money or anything like that, but just not being very, church not being very generous, not being very kind to them, you know, say that their life wasn't great. And, you know, it is, again, those things are really hard balances. You know, you'll be the same, you know, you want your kids to grow up understanding that following Jesus has sacrifice, and that it is okay to sacrifice to follow Jesus, that we live for an eternal home that will be so much better than anything we could have in this home anyway, that it's worth sacrificing everything for Jesus. But alongside that, you know, we're supposed to live in a community that love and care and are generous and supportive. And when actually they hear the sacrifice but don't experience the community, it's a very negative thing and very negative pastors. And see, the stuff that troubles me around some of this discussion in the UK would tend to lead me into thinking more about that stuff, because I'm not aware, I haven't seen any jobs on the 500,000 scale. Although if you want to point me to them, you know, but I have seen more of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think the massive salaries are more common in the States. I think I'm sure there are some in the UK. I'd be staggered if there aren't. It's not what I see as normal. I agree. I think I tend to see churches being particularly tight and particularly unkind. I think it's really important to say at this point, church are not like that. My church are actually very, very generous. Yeah. And considering we are not a wealthy church, and we don't have money, I'm paid well beyond the means of the church in reality. And I know you are too, because
yes, realistically.
you know, that, but it's just true, isn't it? If you and I are paid at the level we're paid, and nothing changes about the finances of our church as it stands, we won't be in a job for very long. That's the truth. Now, in many ways, I think that's right, because a church are acting on faith that people will continue to give, that we'll have partners, that the Lord will provide. And equally, they're acting on biblical principles that your pastor needs to be paid a salary so he can live. And I am perfectly fine on what my church give me. Whereas where I find it difficult is I do know of pastors in situations where the church has gone, oh, we couldn't afford that. You know, now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. In some cases, I don't think it's even true. I think they could afford a lot more than they're prepared to pay. In other cases, I think looking at the raw figures, maybe that's true. But there seems to be a lack of faith that we may be able to sort of find means of sort of helping to pay you something more credible. But in the meantime, we'll just take you on the cheap, and we'll take your wife as a sort of 2-for-1 bargain, and we will. And, you know, we will ask you that question, what's the least you need to live on? And we'll pay you that. And we won't really think about changing it at any point. Well, should a pastor? And as you say, I think when those are your questions, you think, actually, we have a bit of a problem in the church. I mean, my friend, Jeremy Marshall, who does a lot of fundraising stuff and is, you know, generous guy himself, but he would say we do have a generosity problem in the UK church, and that's not just internally paying pastors, but I think it's between churches. I think we have a tendency to hoard resources. I don't think there's that same problem in the States. I think theirs is kind of the inverse problem, where they don't really seem to have many limits on what might be a reasonable amount to pay somebody.
Yeah, and in that, I mean, say, we look very much from a distance into the States, don't we? I don't really get it. And yeah, I mean, some of the figures that float around just seem whatever. But we must say it's good. I mean, we've had loads of positive things over the last 20, 30 years from the States, I think. And, you know, we've got lots of good books and teaching and all kinds of things. But we have this habit of importing their problems as if they are ours. And this would seem to me, we just need to be careful. Like, absolutely, there's a whole set of stuff there that we could fall into, and we have elements of, and we could bring in and say, we don't want celebrity pastors, and we just don't want that. It's not a good thing. We don't want these people with massive book deals and sell, you know, not, we just don't want that, you know, and I get that and I hear that, and we could easily import that with some of the other stuff we're importing. However, that doesn't appear to be the problem we have at the moment. And so it's one of those things, it's like a lot of stuff that people get, going back to conversations we've had on Twitter, people get very upset about on Twitter, where I kind of want to go, well, it's not really much to do with me, that. That's a totally different context and culture and country. Mm. I would like you to get upset about this. And in this particular one, that would, my tendency then would be to get slightly more upset about the, I mean, don't, I do think perhaps churches have got better broadly, that I think people are caring more for their pastors. But that, you know, that bothers me much more to sort of think that there are a lot of places where guys are struggling away at a hard ministry without really enough money to survive, and, you know, having to kind of make, and actually what you hear of in America is that the majority looks a bit like that. Mm. It's just that obviously there's a more, it's more diverse, isn't it? So there are these huge places and so on. And that sort of bit bothers me more, because I think it's more prevalent here and it's more generally an issue. And yet, I get we want to say something about greedy people, and I get we probably need to be wary of some ministries when we see, you know, I mean, there's one or two things recently that I've kind of gone, I'm not keen on that ministry anymore. Not that recently, actually, but I don't know. That, my thinking is that when I see stuff like that, particularly on a kind of British Twitter thread, I'm thinking, is that our problem?